Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Right after the debut of the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Phone lines are open. We'll get to phone calls coming up. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. It's here, Jeff. The coach's show
here.
Is started.
It's almost
no, the
here.
Coach's show started. It's here now. Right?
You can just tell. I mean, he's excited. I mean, I'm excited too. You know, but next Thursday's the day that you get really excited because the veterans, you know, they're here. They're getting their height, weights. They're going to get their conditioning test, and then soon to be on the practice field. You know, and then you have that little period at the beginning of training camp, which they call the acclimation period, where they go out there and no pads, you know, just to make sure that everybody's in shape,
sure,
kind of get acclimated to practicing again. And then the big moment comes when the pads go on. That's when the evaluation really starts. I mean, there's some that has already happened, but the real true evaluation does not happen until the pads go on, and then you start to see guys separate themselves with pads.
Are you acclimated? Could you go out there right now?
And, no, not JP, come on. You asked that question already.
I'm acclimated.
No, I'm acclimated to doing the Gus Bradley Show, and that's about it. I can tell you that. In front of the microphone, I'm good.
Yes, you are, in fact.
No, I'm not, like, good.
Like,
I'm not trying to
too,
brag.
Apparently.
Well, like, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm comfortable here behind the microphone, but on the football field anymore, those days are long gone.
As you heard earlier, quarterbacks, rookies report on Monday. It sounds like Blake will actually speak with the media on Monday as well. What do you want to hear from him when he talks on Monday?
Well, I think first and foremost, what did you do? You know, what did you do during that time frame from the last day of the mandatory mini camp until now? Because here's a young player that has great opportunity to take advantage of different avenues to improve. You know, and for a young player like that, he has to take advantage of every opportunity. That's what I loved most about his offseason, was that in January, when most players are heading off to the Caribbean to sit on the beach and drink a Corona, he was going to see a coach, throwing coach in Tom House, and going other places to try to improve on his craft. And I think that's – when you find somebody that's self-motivated like that, at the most important position and a position of leadership on your football team, sets a great example.
Tony Baselli is with us now. Good to see you, Tony.
Good to be seeing you.
You ready for this training camp? It's here? I mean,
well, it's not here yet.
That's exactly what he said. Wait a minute. It's here. Gus's show's here.
I'll put my ex-player hat on. Training camp ain't here until I got to show up. I'm milking it for every last second of freedom. Friday starts practice. Really, to me, practice doesn't start till Monday.
After, which is pads.
Yeah, it's pads. Yeah. I mean I'll be quite honest with you.
Yes.
I'll be here the first day. I don't know how much of the weekend I'll be here because I've seen everything they're going to do already in the OTAs. But Monday, I can't wait.
That's when it gets serious in the trenches.
Now,
too.
Monday is what? What day? August what? That's August 1st, 2nd, 3rd?
That would be I don't know.
Something like that.
Well, fine, only
third. It's the 3rd.
So I'll be because we start high school football the same day. So I'll be back, jumping back and forth between high school football and the Jaguars.
You've got to get your priorities in order, Tony. Well, we got to have a conversation.
No, but, okay. But you know, it's funny. You know what, you guys,
when
Tony starts talking about high school football, and
it's personal.
And Gus talks about the excitement on his show there about the first practice, just this practice.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be in pads. And as a player, the first padded practice was the one.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that you couldn't wait for, whether you were in high school, college, or the NFL, because you knew that it was time
to go,
time to tune it up,
time
a
to go.
Bit.
You know, it's interesting, Jeff. Me talking about high school football. A coach's perspective is so much different than a player's. Like, I can't wait, and I have my boys are on our team. Obviously, I'm coaching, and they're like, "Oh gosh, camp starts."
I know.
And it's the same way we were players. Like, oh, gosh. And the coaches are like, let's go.
I got
a question. Gus. He's like all pumped up. I can't wait.
When you were in high school, what was always the start date of the training camp for high school? Because I can tell you right now what mine was. August 10th. Still to this day at 48 years old, I remember the day that we started high school football practice. Still.
All I remember is about the first day, because it was the same thing every year at the high school I went, and it was kind of legendary. The first day of camp, you did 40-40s was like the conditioning.
40-40s. Like
4-0-40s.
That's why he's in such great shape right now.
Yeah. Let's not kid ourselves. But, no, I'm looking forward to it. So Monday will be a big day because pads. And I know they've released the schedule. Are they practicing in the mornings, afternoons? What are they doing?
Yeah, mornings.
He's adjusted it a little bit.
So it's, 9:55, I guess?
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. High school practice, 8 to 10.
And, of course, that Monday
I'll be across the bridge. I'll be here at 10:10. Bam.
By the way, that August 3rd is the under the lights practice at Mandarin High School.
Oh, the first padded practices?
I don't know about that, but that's the Monday night. That's where Mandarin. That's the Mandarin.
You sure the first padded practice is that? It's not the 10th?
Didn't seem right, yeah. But no, it's the 3rd is the Mandarin. Yeah. A few practices in.
Have to look it up.
Yeah, we'll look it up. I can't
wait. We'll get to that.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to football season. I'm looking forward to getting things going. I love high school football. I can't wait for college football and obviously the NFL, which we cover all the time, and can't wait to get going to practice and more than anything, the preseason games and doing the games on the radio. I mean, the excitement is going to – I'm looking forward to what this team's going to do. I think that we're going to see a lot of the young players take big steps this year. I'm hopeful and excited about seeing that. And I think it's a pretty – it's going to be an interesting year Everyone says, boy, what a tough schedule. Listen, every year's a tough schedule. Show me one easy schedule. You know who has the easy schedules? The good teams. You know why they're easy? Because they're good.
That's right.
I mean, it's true. The better you are, the easier the schedule you are is because you're favored. Listen, when you're coming off 4-12, 3-13, it's a tough schedule because you're going to be an underdog in everyone's eyes. Okay? That does not matter once you get to Sunday. I can't wait. I think it's going to be great.
Gus Bradley touched on this in his program just a moment ago, but he said there's between 20 and 25 players that are here working out on their own, or almost on a day-to-day basis, which is much more than in years past. And he can't really make an emphasis on that before, but he said, hey, let's make it a little bit of a priority. And guys responded. What does that tell you about the group here, veterans coming in work?
First and foremost, JP, I mean, Jacksonville's a great place to live, you know. So it's not like you're in Buffalo, okay, or Green Bay, or what other places that aren't.
I'm not going to disparage any of the other places of the country, like Cincinnati or Detroit or Cleveland or any of those. I'm not going to talk poorly about them.
Thank you. But I mean, we live in a great place. I mean, it's Florida for heaven's sakes. And here's the other thing: a lot of the players can't wait to establish residency here.
No taxes.
So they want to get an address, establish residency for the money part of it. You know, there's no state income taxes here. So it's smart that for the players to do that. So,
but don't you think, whether they're here or not, Jeff, the majority of guys work out during this time up to the season? I mean, there's – I just go back to when we played. There was a couple guys that came into camp out of shape. But for the most part, everyone else was ready to go and had worked out, whether it was here or California or wherever you wanted to work out. I don't think that matters. I think it's good to see a young team around ready to go. But, I mean, I would be shocked if you didn't see 98% of the guys come in shape, ready to go. I mean, you're going to have that one or two guys that might not be in shape, might not have taken care of themselves.
Yeah, but you knew about them.
And you already knew about them, and you hope you didn't have to count on them.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you'll find that out really on the first day. Conditioning tests and stuff.
What is the conditioning test?
I don't know what it is. What do we do?
Well, we changed.
We did half gassers or something?
Well, we did some half gassers. One year it was the 300s.
What is it? Explain this.
The 300s were you went 50 there back six times.
So you had to goal line, you run to the 50, back to the goal line.
Without stopping.
Back to the 50.
And you had a certain time you had to do them under, and I think you had to
do
two or three under a certain time. And it was to the point where you were straining.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point where Tom made it that if you made like 95% of the offseason workouts, you didn't have to.
I think you could miss one.
96, which everyone made because it was basically mandatory voluntary workouts. So we ended up like one guy would have to do the conditioning test before we got here because all of us were here off season.
Yeah, and different teams have had like the
Joe's asked me who it is, and I can't remember who it was.
The half gassers were you would line up on the sideline.
Okay.
And oh yeah.
You'd run across the field,
there and back,
touch the sideline on the other side, and run back.
Those are much easier than the 300s. 300s.
The only bad part was is that if you ran half gassers on a field that had a big crown,
uphill. Both
yeah,
ways.
Then you're running uphill and on the turn, which didn't make it so easy. Yeah. Now you know,
coming here, home it was good. You could just glide.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, you could glide in. But you know, finishing was great. But going downhill to stop and then restarting uphill
yeah, it was tough.
Was
you know
no
one
fun.
Of the things I miss, we talk about all this conditioning stuff. I miss the days of someone paying me to work out. You know, I used to think I was like a real hard worker, which I thought I worked hard and really cared about my conditioning and being in shape. Then I realized when I retired, I liked making sure I got paid well and did my job well because they paid me to work out. Because I don't work out nearly as hard as I used to. Now that is not my job.
You wouldn't know it from looking at you.
I know. I mean, yeah, you look like you've run 40-40s.
I hide it well. I hide it well. Joe's offering me money. I don't know what to do what. But dollar bills usually.
Here's a dollar.
I'm not that type of.
We're going to take a video of you running a sprint down the hall.
As long as you weren't asking me to dance.
Yeah. What a start. I asked Jeff this a minute ago when you were outside, but Blake Bortles scheduled to speak with the media on Monday when quarterbacks
report. He's the quarterback.
What do
this
you
Monday,
hear?
Right? Do they report the Monday. Quarterbacks rookies report this coming Monday?
Coming Monday,
that's correct.
The official reporting is Thursday for everyone else.
For everyone, all players on roster Thursday, but rookies and quarterbacks on Monday. So it's year two. What do you want to hear from your quarterback?
And this is not what probably anyone listening to this radio or Dan Edwards, our boss, or Joe, the producer, want to hear. I don't care what he says. In the sense of, I want to see him play. I mean, because he could say whatever. I worked hard. Oh, great. I feel good. I'm confident. I like the offense. I like Julius Thomas. I've had good synergy in the offseason. Tom House helped me. Blah, 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 blah. Not that – I mean, listen, because I want you to go to Jaguars.com. But I want to watch
him.
Yes. I want to watch him, Jeff. I want to see it. And guess what? I'll put a little bit of stock into the first 3 days. I'll put a little bit more when they get pads on. But I want to see him in the preseason.
Yeah.
And then I want to see him in the regular season. I want to see if when the pressure is on, all the changes that he made and his understanding of the offense and all that he's done takes. Because you find out whether that takes or not when the pressure's on. And that'll be the real test of the progress that he's made. And I think Gus would tell you the same thing. I think Blake would tell you the same thing. And be real honest. I mean, that's the honest – I mean, that's – So what he says Monday will be nice to listen to and hear him.
Yeah, see, and I disagree.
Opine about the greatness of the offseason and what these young players can do.
Yeah.
Yes, but I want to watch.
The reason I say that I disagree is because, you know, when he came back for the start of the offseason workouts and he talked about what he did from the end of the season until that point, it got me excited. That he went and worked with Tom House, and he was doing this and doing that, all to work on his craft. And so, I mean, that gave me a positive feel to him as a leader and as a guy that wants to get better. So I want to hear the same type of, say, hey, look, this is what I did during my time off, you know, to where you can still have that positive feeling. But at the same token, that's Tony's right, and that it's all feel-good stuff, but you still want to see
the product. Let me ask you this, Jeff. If he comes back and talks about all the good things he's done and throwing with receivers, working hard, which are all good things. Listen, we all did them. I'm not discounting those.
It would be news if he said, oh, we didn't work and this offense
stinks. But he does all that, and then when it counts in the regular season, it's a struggle. We're going to be upset. But if he came back and said, you know, I sat on the beach and drank Corona and Bud Light and Budweiser, whatever.
I think that'd be great, too.
All the above.
For 6 weeks and hung out and, you know, and just had a good old time and really didn't pick a football up and, you know, and had a couple stogies and just cruised around. Came and lit it up on the opening day against the Carolina Panthers. We'd be like, keep on going with yourself, Blake.
You know who would do that?
Who's that?
The late Kenny Stabler.
Oh, yeah. That's how they all used to
would
do
say.
It.
That's right.
But so, you know who I would love to hear from when they come back to find out what they did? Be Brandon Linder. Because I guarantee you that
Well, follow him on Twitter. Buenco's when you follow on Twitter. He likes to go out there and hunt and golf. And
So does Linder.
A lot of those guys.
That's,
I mean, these
great.
Guys.
I love it.
I mean, these those two young guys, man, they're having fun. Yeah,
no, so it's all good stuff. So I'm not listen, I understand what you're saying, Jeff. I mean, listen, Blake coming back and telling me before OTAs of all the good things he did was fine. But you know what got me more excited is that he did them. And when he comes back and says that he did all these things leading up, great. But the fact that we know he's been doing it, that makes me feel better. But the ultimate feel-good medicine is going to be opening day when you see it take.
You can watch Blake Bortles start doing it. Friday, July 31st, the Jaguars are on the field for training camp. 10 practices open to the public this training camp in 2015. Register for a free ticket. Visit jaguars.com/training camp events. We'll come back and look at some key training camp battles, including that offensive line. Your phone calls as well, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Kiss game day parking hassles goodbye with a JTA Stadium shuttle. There are 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games, and tickets start at just $7. Visit JTAFLA.com for more information.
Good
Jaguars,
deal right there.
That's a great deal. Another fight traffic.
Yeah, you don't have to fight traffic, and if you're someone who enjoys an adult beverage, you get home safely and not to worry about it.
There you go. There you go. I like it. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, that's Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman here as well. The talk, of course, this training camp will be about the battles. A lot of positions are up for grabs, and it seems like a different type of feel this year. It's almost a true competition. You know, after we've talked about this before, a couple of practices in, you know a lot of times who's going to be the starter, at least the last couple of years.
Well, for the last 6 years, if there was a battle, for the most part, it was a manufactured battle.
Okay, where are the battles besides offensive line?
Cornerback.
Running corner. Back. There's okay. No battle at running back, JP.
No?
TJ Yeldon is going to be the starting running back. I'm just telling you right now.
I disagree.
Okay. I'm just telling you, he is the starting running back.
But there's less intrigue from the running back position because you know that there's going to be 2 or 3 guys playing. You know, there's not a guy that he's the starter and he's playing every down.
Corner, so, I agree. And really?
Free safety?
Safety is another one. Once Sergio Brown, back, yeah. Josh Evans is a sample.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
I would
for
say
sure.
The defensive back and the offensive line are the only true position battles.
But yeah, but I mean, defensive line's like running back. They're all going to play.
They're all going to play.
You know.
And like Gus said, a wide receiver, maybe who's a starter is going to be. But
playing time.
They're all going to play.
Ron in Gainesville has some questions about those camp battles. What's up, Ron?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Okay, you?
Pretty good. I had a personal battle I'm looking forward to. Actually, a couple of them.
You're battling somebody?
No, I had a personal battle I'm looking forward to seeing.
I thought you were going to battle somebody on the Jaguars. It'd be great.
I absolutely wish I had the opportunity to run through that tunnel and live out that dream.
I love it, baby.
It would be amazing. But unfortunately, I don't.
neither do we.
Yeah,
anymore.
Don't need to, actually.
We're all in the same boat, my friend.
I understand. My personal battle that I really want to see is a matchup actually between two free agents that we picked up this summer. I really want to see what Jeremy Parnell and Jerry Audra how they get into it and how they tangle up in practice when the pads start getting on and stuff start getting real.
You have picked what really, I mean, if you know back in the old days. And really not too old days, I mean, because it happened under a previous coaching regime here. They had the first day of pads, you'd have, you know, one-on-ones, you know, and the coach or whoever would pick
matchups. Oklahoma stuff.
Oklahoma drill or whatever you want to call it.
Do we still do that?
No.
They don't do it anymore.
I think that's the dumb.
But, you know, some coaches still do it.
I think it's so dumb.
I think it's crazy.
It was dumb before.
That's more of a college thing now.
No, it's legal.
Guys don't do it.
No, I mean, NFL's had it. I mean,
but now, there's not many NFL teams doing it.
They don't do it a whole lot.
I don't understand what it proves.
But if you were going to have one, if you're going to have an Oklahoma drill, my marquee matchup would be what he just said. It would be Audrey versus Parnell. I mean, get the big boys at it.
But I guess my point is you.
But if I'm the head coach, I'm not doing that.
No, come on. Because it doesn't tell you anything.
I know they can play.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but put them in. The only time Oklahoma makes a bit of difference is when you're on the 1 yard line as an offensive lineman. Other than that, you're not firing off like that.
No.
You're taking your steps. You're working your technique. You're combination blocking. You're pass blocking. I mean, come on. Let's do something that's going to show us.
Remember Tyson Alualu, the first one hurt his knee.
It's the last time they did it here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It should have been. Should have done it before that, in my opinion. But listen, I think. I'm excited. I'm not really. I don't care who Parnell is blocking. I'm excited to watch him. I think that's overall.
Overall,
I don't care if it's against Odrick or
pass rush,
Clem or
whatever.
I don't care who it is. Ryan Davis, name the guy. I thought it was a great signing. And what I've seen so far in OTAs just confirmed that, and I want to make sure nothing changes when you get the pads on. I don't think it will, based on what I've seen so far. I think he's going to be a really good right tackle. So that'd be good. I'll tell you, the one I'm even more anxious to watch is Luke Jokel. That's the one I'll be watching, I mean, for different reasons than Jeremy Parnell.
Well, the reasons why is because last year he struggled with power, and then he would try to overcompensate and drop his head and lunge.
Which would hurt you with speed.
Which, in no pads, you can't get that feel and you can't get that look. So the only way you're going to tell if Luke Jokel has made progress from last year to this year, it's not looking at seeing what he weighs and not seeing what he's bench pressing in the weight room. It's seeing
really
how
matters.
He is on the field when he's dealing with power. And has he adjusted?
Does he trust it more than anything?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
How long does it take to adjust that as a left tackle? I mean, you
what
don't
do you
really
mean,
have
adjust?
To do that. Because he had to learn a little more how to play power, right?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'll just say
you
this.
You really had to go through that learning curve.
Oh, sure I did.
Did you?
I mean, yeah, you get to the NFL. I mean, power is never an issue in college. You're just bigger, stronger. And I remember I told the story many times. You know, all the OTAs or whatever we ever called them back then, I was working logman over. Because because it was just speed. I mean, athletically, I wasn't worried about the bull rush, and so I just blocked him. First pass rush of one-on-ones, I realized that power in the NFL is different than power in college. Because Jeff came with the ball and bull rushed me, and I'm not sure who got back to the fake quarterback quicker, Jeff or I, because we both were arrived at the same time. So you have to learn to play, and you have to figure out how you're going to stop power. Are you going to sit? Are you going to lift? Are you going to snatch? Whatever you're going to do. But you have to have a plan for it. And I'll just say, for me, I never was good the first week of camp, ever. From the first day of pads till the end of that week, I was never very good. As far as how I felt, I might have looked okay, but I didn't feel good. Because it took me about a week to get comfortable of bending my knees, moving with the pads, feeling power, responding to power, still, you know, being able to move. And so it takes some time. There was always an adjustment. But the question is during that period, are you going to, sooner or later, are you going to trust it? Because what I learned, that when you're playing against power, you have to trust your technique. And you can't be afraid of getting bull rushed. Because the moment you're afraid of getting bull rushed
is when your technique is off.
And then you're going to get beat at everything else. You always, in my opinion, can recover and make the ball slow enough to get back to the quarterback where you give the quarterback a chance.
As soon as
you bend over and start lunging, the quarterback's dead.
When to give an example from the opposite perspective, I mean, when what I would watch film, you would always try to find a guy that didn't adapt to power. And then after he got powered, he would change the way he kind of approached it. And it was like at that point you were like a shark circling.
Gosh.
In the blood, because you knew that you would start that game out with a lot of power on the guy, you know, putting your helmet right in his chest and trying to power him, because then he would change things. And, you know, Will Wolford was a great example of that. Will was a great left tackle for the Buffalo Bills.
Very good.
But he hated getting powered. You know, and a lot of tackles shouldn't mind getting power because a lot of times they just adapt. They get pushed back a little bit, but they don't give up a sack or hit on the quarterback. But some guys just can't stand it.
It's embarrassing.
They can't stand getting pushed around.
It feels terrible. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, it feels terrible. But
it's embarrassing. Your pride's hurt. You're like, this stinks. This little defensive end pushing me around.
But you would look for
and
the
you're
guy.
You're going to get made fun of in film.
To start changing the way he'd lunge or he'd try to shoot his arms harder or whatever, and then you would just counter off of that. So
I got two stories about that quickly. Do we have time before we go to break?
Plenty of time.
So. Yeah. The two stories, and Jeff will remember this guy. Michael McCrary was one of the best pass rushers in the NFL for, 4 years, Jeff, probably?
Yeah, great motor, too.
Yeah, I mean, he was a 12 to 15, I think 1 year, 16 sack guy over 4 years. I mean, he's in the Baltimore Ring of Honor. I mean, you know, the average fan might not remember, but, I mean,
great player.
So I'll never forget, the first year we played him, he was playing with Seattle. He ended up going to Baltimore, so I played him twice a year. And I remember watching the film, and he bull rushed everybody, and he was whipping everybody. And I went into that game, and in the first quarter, I overcompensated because I was afraid of getting bowled. And what happened? He bowled me and got a sack. And so I told myself from that point on, I don't care if you bowl me. And from that point on, over the next 4 years we played each other, I would have people, all the coaches come and say, how do you block Michael McCrary? And the way I blocked him, I didn't worry about his bowl. Now, were there times he pushed me back a little bit? Sure. But I had success because I countered and took away the one thing that he was wanting to do, as Jeff just said, to get everyone off balance.
He was trying to suck you in.
No, I just wouldn't do it. And I have people all the time come up to me and says, man, you used to frustrate Michael McCrary. And I knew why, because I figured you're not going to bowl me. You might get a little push early, but I'm a big, strong guy, and you're not as big as I am. It's going to wear your butt out, and I'm not going to compensate for it. And the second thing is my favorite, we were playing the Washington Redskins, and Ken Harvey, another good pass rusher.
And great speed.
Great speed. And I'll never forget, first third down. And I caught him whispering to the defensive tackle, telling him that he said, I'm going to set him up with the bull. First play. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. So the first play, he tried to bull me, and I stoned him sometimes you stone a bull and you get pushed back a couple steps to the point where, like, he was stopped in his tracks. For the rest of the game, he never tried to bull again because he had thought that I was just
– you were going to do that every time.
Every time. He didn't realize that I had cheated and knew that he was bull rushing and overcome. But it made the game easier the rest of the time for me because I knew – you couldn't power me.
In other words, he stole the signals, JP.
Absolutely.
Translating that for you.
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
It's true, though. So, back to Luke Jokel. I'm looking forward to see if he's got his confidence to handle the ball with the right technique. If he does that, Luke Jokel will have a very good year.
Before we get to break here, big battle at center.
Yeah,
Wisniewski,
you know.
Bowenko. What's going to stand out to get somebody that job?
I'll just say this. I heard every media guy during the OTA saying that's Wisniewski's job. And they all said, now that they have Wisniewski with a good line, he'll be the center. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Bowenko wins that job. I think Luke Bowenko is going to be a really good football player. I'm not saying he's winning the job this year, but right now, to me, it's a coin flip. And I might even give Bowenko a little bit of an edge. Because the other guy's coming off a labrum. Bowenko got bigger and stronger, had the whole offseason.
And he's athletic.
So I think that's a great matchup. And I think left guard. I think Zane Beatles.
That's the one guy. Well, not Zane Beatles, but AJ Can. That's the guy I can't wait to see in pads on. Because, you know, you can't evaluate offensive linemen in OTAs. I mean, you can see how athletic they are.
It's easier to evaluate tackles and guards in OTAs because you can watch them in space.
But the guards, the power guys, you got to have the pads on. That's the guy that when the pads are on for the first day, of course, we'll always be down there by the big guys. But that's where my eyes be at.
It's going to be good stuff.
It's coming quick, too. Friday. A week from tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be – but
the pads. A week from Monday.
Yeah. A week from this coming Monday.
Coming quick.
Can you find out where first pad of practice is?
We'll find out.
Well, we know that practice Monday is at Manor High School, but we don't know
that. Is that the first pad of practice?
Don't know that.
I need to know that.
I think it's Wednesday, it sounds like.
Wednesday is the first pad of practice.
Sounds like it, yes.
So that Monday is still no pads.
Right. Most likely.
Interesting.
Get more in 2015.
That doesn't seem right to me, JP.
We'll double check it. We'll do a discount double check when we come back.
Well, I don't know if they're a sponsor, so I don't think they're you have not. To do it.
Become a Jaguar season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Great seating options available for any budget this season. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager today at 633-2000. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses in Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here.
All right, since you did your little read there, me and Tony got to send out some birthday wishes.
Yes.
Go for it. Yeah.
And today is my dad, Dave Loggeman, turned 75 today, and he is in town. Want to wish him
nice.
A happy birthday.
There's probably a stake in his future tonight.
Are you taking him out tonight?
No, we have we actually have a couple plans coming up.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
It's my mom's birthday today.
There you go.
Happy birthday, Ms. Baselli.
Yep, Candy is Dr. Hodgkins, but I go her mom, is 65 today. Born and 50.
You call her mom?
Yeah, really? Sometimes when she's not yelling at me. No, she's great. She is she's going out of town, and we're going to have a little breakfast and get together next week. So it's always good to nice to I'm very fortunate to still have all, parents alive. It's good.
Right. Yep. By the way, speaking of the birthday wishes, earlier this week, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier had a birthday.
Oh, what is he, like 55?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, he's like 54, I think.
Getting up there. I mean, TikTok, right? No, it's so happy birthday to everybody.
Well, birthdays, July birthdays.
Birthdays, yeah. We were talking about the padded practices. And
yeah.
It seems like to us that Wednesday is the first.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Well, here's the deal. There's three distinctions of level of pads or no pads. You have no pads, which is no pads at all.
Which helmets, I think will be the first 3 days.
Which will be the first, at least the first 2 days.
Yeah, I think probably three.
And then you have some.
Isn't it under the CBA if do three?
Yeah, they have an acclimation period built in. And then you have uppers, okay, which is shoulder pads and helmets, sometimes the thigh pads.
Which is all like purpose, which is full pads.
Which is contact. I mean, that's when you can say, okay, we're looking at contact and we can evaluate. And then you have full pads, which includes
pants.
You know, the pants and the hip pads and all those other things that
no
are
one
required
wears hip
to
pads,
wear.
Though.
No, but if they choose to wear them.
No one wears hip pads. You have to wear thigh pads and knee pads now, but I always used to love back when we played, and still now, they do it, and coaches were like, oh, just an uppers today, going to give you a break. Well, what a break. I mean, so I don't have to wear my thigh pads?
No, it's just knee pads.
Or knee pads,
because
yeah.
we still wore
yeah,
thigh pads.
Yeah, we had
pads.
To wear thigh pads. It was part of the deal. So I can take off my knee pads that I don't always wear to practice anyways. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It doesn't change. And
it's a little comical.
In the NFL, if you have uppers on, nothing changes because you're going full speed when you have full pads on, and you're never going. You're not trying to go to the ground anyways.
You're certainly not going low on your team.
No, you're not. I mean, if I'm blocking Jeff, I'm not trying to, drive him into the ground.
Well, maybe you want to sometimes.
Oh, there were days I wanted to.
I
wanted to chop block him,
today,
but I wouldn't do it.
Some of us still.
I remember one practice, and it was when Tony Brackens was a young player still, and we had a tight end. Who was, free undrafted free agent type of guy, try hard, was, trying to do everything to make the team. And Tony Brackens was on the backside, and I was, back behind the 12-yard
yeah.
line,
yeah.
we had to be 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage, everybody had to be behind the cones. And this tight end was on the backside of the play, and Tony was inside eye.
Six eye technique.
And the tight end cut him.
Yeah, that's not good.
Cut him.
Oh,
okay.
That will cause a fight.
It did. I came from 12 yards deep, put my helmet on my way there, and proceeded to body slam this undrafted rookie.
The worst part about that is, though, so as an offensive player, your duty is to stand up for the offensive player.
You didn't on that one.
But you don't really want to.
Nobody
did. You can't cut the guy. Come on. We don't do that here.
I remember Tom comes running
Tom
over.
Probably wanted to fight
him. He's all mad. What are you doing? Because I wasn't even on the field. I said, just cut Brackens on the backside. And he goes, oh, well, he deserved it then.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things you don't do in the NFL, and one is cut in practice. You don't go low. You only tackle if it's a live period, which is probably one or two all of camp. Usually it's goal line. And you take care of each other. You listen, I'm trying to block him. But if I have the best of him, I'm not going to dump him over a pile or dump him on the ground. Just like if he has the best of me.
Hold him up.
Hold me up. But listen, okay, you won. The film's going to tell you what happened. And you're going to know why you won or why you lost. We're not trying to kill each other. It's always the rookies. I mean, and that's who I'd always fight at the beginning. I mean, sometimes you get these young rookies, and it was always the linebackers who wanted to run through the gaps as fast as they could and everything. So I just got to the point where I'm like, okay, we are going to fight. Because I'm going to – if you want to do that, we're going to fight the first week or so.
The first couple days.
We're going to fight because you can't – I mean, we're not going to do this all year. So we're going to learn now.
They have to learn the tempo.
Yeah. It's just not – I mean, go full speed. Do your job. But once you do your job, let's make sure we compete and take care of each other.
Camp fights really get going now, I guess, when the pads start going on, right?
Well, usually about day five.
Yeah, but they're not even as prevalent anymore, I don't think, because you don't get as sick of each other. Listen,
you're not as fatigued.
We would go two-a-days.
Okay, sure.
And by the first week, you've already – so after the first week of padded practices, you've hit each other 10 times. 10 practices in a five-day period. And at that point, you hate each other. You're tired. You're sore. You hate the coach. You hate football. You hate each other. You don't know why you're doing this for a living. And you want to just leave and hit somebody illegally. And so you fight. It's what you want to do. Every guy, back when training camps were like two-a-days, at some point would be in the shower talking to himself about retiring from the stupid game of football.
Oh, yeah.
At some point. Every year. Because it was like, why am I doing it? And then you get the regular season, and you go, okay, now I know why I do this.
That's pretty good.
This is a good job. But for those 4 to 6 weeks, at some point, it was either in the shower or laying in my hotel bed by myself looking at the ceiling.
It was usually when the alarm went off at like 6 o'clock. And you had to wake up in training camp. Oh. You had to eat and then be in for treatment at 6:15.
I don't know what was worse, though, Jeff, was waking up at that time or – waking up after the afternoon nap, knowing you have to go back over
there. I could never take naps.
Oh, and your eyes just...
For that very reason, that's why I couldn't take naps.
Can I just please stay in bed? But you get in the regular season, you're like, this is why I do it, because it's the greatest job ever. But, man, during that training camp...
When I was in New York, we didn't take naps in the afternoon. We actually had a tradition. It was me and Jim Sweeney and Kyle Clifton and Kenny O'Brien and Pat Leahy. We'd all gather at Pat Leahy's room, who was, he was like a 40-year-old kicker at that time. And we'd all watch the Andy Griffith Show after we ate lunch. And that was our way of just, the lights were turned down, Andy
decompress.
Griffith was on, and you just kind of decompress and listen to Andy and Opie and Aunt B. And then go back out there and start smashing heads again.
Oh. And it was so hot that afternoon practice here. Gosh, it was hot. And you'd be praying for rain. You're just looking over the horizon to the west saying, please, lightning come. Please, lightning come. And for whatever reason, Tom had more power over the weather than anyone else because it never came.
Chris on the west side is on the line tonight, wants to talk about coaching. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. I got a dead zone take to get out of the way before practice starts. I am a firm believer that coaches are integral to establishing a winning culture. But you're never going to see a coach that is going to put you over the top. At that point, the players have to put you over the top. One coach in particular comes to mind, and that's Marty Schottenheimer. I have always felt that he was criticized way too much for not winning in the playoffs. To a certain extent, Tom Coughlin was too until, guess what? He had an awesome defensive line. And a quarterback who was just playing hot. What do you guys think?
Well, let me start with Marty Schottenheimer, who I agree with you in that he was a tremendous coach. But the criticism has really – I mean, there's a heck of a track record to be able to criticize Marty Schottenheimer for not having success in the playoffs. But you also, when you start looking at coaches and evaluating them, the first question that you have to ask about them is, who is their quarterback? Did Marty Schottenheimer ever have a great quarterback?
He had Ellis Gerback 1 year. Todd Blackledge.
Blackledge. Bernie Kosar.
Todd Collins.
Okay, and Bernie was a good player.
Joe Montana 1 year.
Yeah, but at the end, pretty you know, year. When he was like held
they
together by tape.
Did they win though? A playoff
yeah,
game?
They
with,
got the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Listen, yeah. Here's the thing. I'll say this. Coaches are very important. Very important. Leadership. Listen, ownership, GM, coaches, quarterback, all leadership positions, all critical for success of a franchise. Without a doubt. I mean, in everything in this world, from a football team to a business to a family to a church to a nonprofit, leadership is the most key component of any organization. And the head coach is part of that leadership team. But it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes. Because if you have really good Jimmies and Joes, you can drop a lot of different X's and O's that work pretty well.
And Jimmy and Joe play quarterback.
I like some that rush the passer too, and cover and block.
But you got to have Jimmy and Joe at quarterback. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, you look at the Hall of Fame. Look at the NFL Hall of Fame.
Or Joe, Jeff, you have like 11 Jimmy and Joes on defense,
yeah.
Like the Baltimore Ravens did that
yeah,
year.
Exactly.
Then you don't really care who plays quarterback.
Because if you look at the NFL Hall of Fame, how many Hall of Fame head coaches are there in Canton without a Hall of Fame quarterback to boot?
John Madden. Kenny Stabler never made it.
Never made it.
Plunkett?
Nope, never made it. Two Super Bowls, never in the Hall of Fame.
So you got him.
But John, some people say John Madden made it just as much for his influence on the game as an announcer,
no
coach,
question.
And everything else. So
Joe Gibbs?
No Hall of Fame quarterback?
Nope. Mark Rippon, Joe Theismann, Doug Williams.
Kelly Schroeder,
yeah.
Whatever his name is.
So
there's not many.
There's only two that I can think of.
Yeah. But that's
yes,
not,
Joe.
Yeah,
Joe's confused.
Yes, like, Joe.
Didn't Madden have LaMonica?
No, that's before him. I think that's before Madden.
We'll have to look this up.
LaMonica wasn't part of it.
We'll do a little research when we get back. Of course, Jaguars 3-packs are on sale now. Get the best prices and best locations. Pick any 3 home games and choose from 5 different locations. Prices start at $99. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. We'll look around the National Football League and wrap it up on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out the all-new Jack Hanania's Infinity of Orange Park. Brand new and has all the amenities you can dream of. It's like the Taj Mahal of luxury dealerships with a huge selection of new Infinities. Final segment of Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, and Jeff Lagerman. We were through the break trying to search for these quarterbacks, so we couldn't really find them for Madden and Gibbs, right? There was
no
Hall of Fame.
Blando was on the roster, but that was the end of his career. He was a kicker at that point.
Okay.
He's like 95 years old.
To me, I mean, you also have to look at more, I mean, about that era forward. I mean, prior to that, I mean, it was such a run-heavy game.
Yeah, it's different.
Very different game. But, I mean, here's a list of the 22 coaches in the Hall of Fame. George Allen, okay, Paul Brown, Guy Chamberlain, Jimmy Cosselman, which was like early.
But those are all the Super Bowl
recent
era.
Ones, Joe Gibbs.
Okay.
Sid Gilman.
He never even won a Super Bowl.
Bud Grant.
Didn't win a Super Bowl. He had Frank Tarkenton, too.
Tom Landry.
He had a guy named Roger Staubach.
He was pretty good.
Yeah. Danny White wasn't bad either.
Marv Levy.
Jim Kelly never won a Super Bowl.
Vince Lombardi.
Bart Starr.
Chuck Knoll.
They had a guy named Terry Bradshaw, who was pretty good, and about 15 other Hall of Famers on that roster. They had a bunch of Jimmys and Joes.
Bill Parcells.
Well, he had Phil Sims, not a Hall of Famer. He's never had a Hall of Famer either.
Don Shula, Dan Marino.
Am I right about Parcells? No Hall of Famer.
I don't think Phil Sims is a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not. I know for a fact he's not.
No.
And
neither
Shula
Jeff Halstead.
Had Unitas, too.
Yeah, Shula had Unitas, Marino.
And then Bill Walsh.
He had a guy named Joe Montana.
And Steve Young.
Yep. Steve Young. Well, I think Steve Young was after Walsh was Seifert.
Yep, that's right. There you have it. Let's look around. I'm not sure
what we've just proved, but it was a fun exercise.
League. Speaking of head coaches, the Steelers have extended Mike Tomlin through 2018. Not really a shocker. They never fire anybody. The new deal worth at least $7
million
a year.
But what has he done lately? Can anyone tell me what Mike Tomlin's done the last couple of years besides He missed the playoff. Did they miss him last year as well, or were they beaten the first round?
He's won a Super Bowl.
He's played for two. I think he's played for. He's won one, lost one. Okay, but $7 million?
It's a lot of money.
Come on.
But, I mean, if you look at the.
I'll just say this. Call the Rooneys in Pittsburgh right now. I will save them $3.5 million, and I will do it for that. I'll give them a 50% discount right now.
Very generous.
Well, I mean, that's the least I could do.
For that job, I mean, to me, if you're a head coach in the National Football League with what the job requires, $7 million to me, that's fair.
$7 million. It's fair.
Yeah. I mean, think about it.
What's okay? Gus's deal?
I don't know what his deal is.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Look at the starting quarterback in the National Football League. What's the going rate for that?
That's much harder than the head coach, by the way.
No,
there's
doubt.
Less of them. There's less guys who can do that.
There would be some that would argue against that.
No, come on.
What is the going rate for them? I mean,
a good one? 12. 10 to 12.
12 to 15
good
million,
one.
Right?
Good one, yeah.
Okay, good one, you're 20.
20, yeah.
Okay, so half the rate of your starting quarterback? I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
If you got a good one.
I'm fine with it. I'm just, as of late, I'm not saying Mike Tomlin's not a good coach, but – was his deal up next year, JP? I mean, do we have any? I mean,
I don't believe so, but they went ahead and extended it.
That's all I'm saying. I think he's a good coach, but I don't think he made the playoffs 2 years ago. I know he didn't. I'm not sure last year. Maybe they were a wild card team and lost in the. I think they were a wild
Sounds
card.
Right.
They were a wild card because Le'Veon Bell got hurt, and so he wasn't able to play. So they lost in the first round. He has won a Super Bowl. He's lost Super Bowl. So listen, he's a good coach. I'm not saying he's not, but what's the urgency?
You know what's going to be interesting with him, though?
That's all I'm wondering.
What is the big thing that has changed for him?
Dick LeBeau's gone.
You know, Dick LeBeau has been a standard for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going to be interesting to see how they do.
Their defense was so average lately, Jeff. I mean, because of the age. And listen, Mike Tomlin was a defensive guy. He was the coordinator at Minnesota for 1 year before he got hired by Pittsburgh. Obviously, it's been LeBeau's defense. But Tomlin's good at is managing the team and organization-wise and getting them all on the same page.
You mentioned leadership, the importance of leadership earlier.
I think he's a good leader.
And the Steelers have had three head coaches since the late 60s.
That's ownership. That's leadership at the ownership level.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said I would be happy to do it for half price.
It's very, very nice.
Because you're not going to get fired.
You're not going to get it for full price.
I don't think I'd get it for a tenth of a price either.
You have to wait until 2019, apparently, too.
They don't fire people.
Proof that any publicity is good publicity, the Players Association revealed that Tom Brady is leading the league in player merchandise sales from March 1 through May 31st. He's never been in the top three.
That's because all the Patriot fans are mad that he's going to get suspended, which I still think is interesting of what's going to happen with Tom Brady in Deflategate. If he gets suspended for even one game, he's suing the NFL. If the league
supposedly.
Goes, he is. If the league goes all the way back and just makes it a fine, everyone's going to freak out and say that the Patriots are getting favors. I wish that they could sweep it under the rug and just go away because I don't want to be talking about it.
No, it needs to end.
At the start of the season.
It needs to end. But here's an interesting thing. I think Peter King wrote it on his Monday Morning Quarterback, and he talked about how if you really wanted to get to the bottom of it would be to evaluate the pressure of footballs this season and then determine exactly – what effect cold weather has on footballs this year to determine what type of action to take against the Patriots. Which, you know.
Or we could just put it to bed and not talk about it anymore.
But here's the thing.
Do we really want to talk about this all
year?
Can
you put it to bed?
Yeah. Just bite the bolt and let's go. They're going to get – Goodell's getting hammered either way. He is getting hammered in this deal either way.
But if Tom Brady's suspension gets lifted, how would he get hammered?
How? Oh, the anyone who's not a Patriots fan. There's a report that some of the other owners are putting pressure to keep the suspension up on the Patriots because of viewed as. I mean, he's going to get hammered either way. He can't win.
Interesting.
Bad situation.
The next time we have this program, all players will have reported. How about that?
Oh, interesting. No practice still.
No practice until about next day.
So 2 weeks from tonight, really exciting show.
Yes, for Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman. Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.